This is the Disability Visibility Podcast with your host, Alice Wong.
You're pretty good at this.
Hello, dear listener. My name is Alice Wong, and I'm the host of the Disability Visibility Podcast. Conversations on disability politics, culture, and media. Today's episode is titled Crip Bodies and Crip Aging. My guests are Patty Bird and Leroy Moore, two people who have a lot of wisdom to share about their bodies and aging. You might wonder why I'm using the word crip in the title of this episode. I know there are many people, both disabled and non-disabled, who are uncomfortable with it. I'm using it deliberately today, because there is something culturally specific about celebrating disabled bodies that's rooted in pride and in direct opposition to the forces that tell us that our bodies are not enough. To grip something is to imbue it with disability culture. The way we age is different. The way our bodies change and move through the world is different. So let's talk about disabled bodies, self-love, and aging. How do we listen, honor, and treat our bodies? How do we value and treasure the elders in our communities? Patty, Leroy, and I explore this and more. Are you ready? Away we go.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
So, Patty, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Alice, for having me here. My name is Patty Byrne, and I am the director of Fins and Valid, which is a disability justice-based performance project led by disabled people of color and queer and gender nonconforming people with disabilities. I've been involved in disability-related organizing for maybe the last 15 years. Prior to that, I had been doing work in racial justice and gender justice movements, particularly working to end rape and sexual violence amongst women of color organizations. And this year I celebrated my 50th birthday, which feels really good.
Happy 50th birthday, that is a big milestone.
I had a big banner at my party that said, still here, still revolutionary.
How is your body right now? And how has the last few years been like for you in terms of aging and disability-related stuff?
As women, as we age, as people with disabilities, I mean, neither are discussed in broader discourse. And it's as though older women don't exist, in many ways, except as kind of neutered objects. And that's the same way that, people with disabilities are perceived as neutered objects. Many people are surprised about seeing people with disabilities and our bodies as complex whole beings, including our sexualities, at any age. I really dig my body. Like, I love my body. A few years ago, I was like, what's going on? I can't stand it. I'm old now. And then I started to challenge that ageism and the framing that I had to be less vibrant. It's not easy to contradict capitalism and media messages. So I feel like it's still a process.
It's a continual process, but how did you get to the point where you truly love your body?
When I was younger, I was really unhappy in my skin. I loathed my body when I was younger. Absolutely loathed being in my body. And it's so painful. My body's part of me. There's no one thing.
There's no aha moment.
Exactly. There was no one
It's not like a movie where everything magically happens in one moment.
Right, and not at all. It was a really long process for me. I was in therapy for most of my adult life, and still do go intermittently. Things that were helpful for me were putting up pictures of myself as a child and really honoring like little Patty, having little altars to different ages of myself where I was wounded. I write love letters to myself. I would take myself out on dates. I would treat myself the way that I treated a friend that I had betrayed. Like I apologized to my body for not loving it. I thanked my body a lot. It was really one day just recognizing what a sweet, hardworking body I have. I mean, it has done everything I have asked to the best of its capacity. I mean, I couldn't have asked for more. And it just, for so many years, I didn't listen to it. And I just, would make demands on it. And I notice all these cute little quirks about my body and myself now. And it's just super cute and sweet. And I love it. I love myself. And part of that, I'm sure you've gone to this house, part of that is just growing older and being more comfortable with who we are and feeling good about what we can do.
So, what are some of your advice for people, how to really listen to their bodies and taking care of their body and spirits?
I mean, I can only speak for myself and what was helpful for me. I believe that when we're born, we are fully aware of our beauty and power, and that our relationships with ourselves, our bodies, get severed from lots of things can do that, right? Violence, be it family violence or medical violence, messages from the world, from media to magazines, demonstrating to my body that I'll take good care of it. I'm not going to let it get hurt. I'm not going to deride it. Just like I would any friend, I would demonstrate that I love them and I would tell them that I love them. And so I tell my body all the time, how beautiful it is. I started with just like making friends. I guess if I could give any advice to people, I would say be gentle the way we'd want to be with any friend. Be gentle and tender and make sure you honor your friend.
Yeah, I think part of the, any kind of close relationship, whether it's with a friend or with your own body itself, requires intimacy and trust and vulnerability. Sometimes we don't even give ourselves permission to surrender and just, fully be engulfed with our feelings.
Yeah, I agree 10,000%. It's hard to do your body justice when the world is telling us not to. When the world is telling us that, oh, that body is better and deserves fairness and justice, and this body doesn't deserve that. That's bullshit.
Two of the principles of disability justice is collective access and interdependence. How did you see these principles play out in your life as you age and with all the communities that you're a part of?
And to me, collective access means that we all have needs and we can share those needs with each other without feeling shamed. An example of that is when I'm working with the tendons. You know, they're there to help my body and to help me. But, you know, they have needs too. Like, they're human beings. My body needs more assistance than theirs. That's reality. But it's also reality that they might get hot because I keep it really hot in my house. Or they might need a drink. And so I check in a lot. So making sure people are fed and hydrated. Or, you know, whatever it is, you know, how can I make sure that even in the process of me and my needs, somebody else's needs are not getting neglected. So that's just one example of collective access. That's like a personal, individual example. The process of meeting each other's access needs is interdependence. You know, where we lean on each other to do that. Our bodies, yes, they are distinct from each other, but we are also energetic fields, right? And when I'm around somebody, like, their energetic field is going to influence me, and vice versa. Like, we're always in conversation, our bodies. We're reading each other's body language all the time. Our tones of voice, the ways that we're moving and not moving. And so, you know, whether or not we want to acknowledge it, we're already interdependent.
Absolutely. Is there anything else you'd like to share with me about, I guess, trip aging and trip bodies?
Politically, it's a miracle to survive ableism. And physically, it's a miracle to survive all the labor that it takes to live in a body with impairments. So more power to us, more power to all, you know, all the people, and especially older people with disabilities that are also facing, you know, white supremacy, gender-based oppression, immigration-based oppression, or economic oppression and exploitation. I mean, all of it, you know, they're all the things that are trying to stop us from living. I'm blessed to be able to live and continue, you know, what gives me passion and love. We're a rare breed.
You know, I think, as you and I've seen, in our community, you know, there aren't that many elders. I feel like every disabled elder I know, like, we should shower them with, like, gold medals, because sometimes people don't realize, like, you know, it's a huge feat just to be where we are, just to survive and to exist. It's like, you know, we really should celebrate and honor the people who are with us.
Oh my God, yes. Yes, yes, and yes.
Well, Patty, you are a treasure. You really are a treasure. And, you know, this conversation is a treasure. And for people who want to reach you or learn more about you, what are some ways they can find out more?
Well, my work is with Sins Invalid. So people can look on Facebook or our webpage or YouTube. And it's Sins, S-I-N-S, Invalid, I-N-V-A-L-I-D. And people can drop me a line at pattyburn@sinsinvalid.org. And I really do welcome conversation about, you know, this intertwining of experiences of disability and aging, because neither are given the space to be honored in this U.S. cultural construct, right, in this little world of the U.S. And I want to help co-create that space for people. And also, if people want to see others doing it, the last Sins Invalid performance was entitled Birthing, Dying, Becoming Crip Wisdom. And we developed a lot of awesome material. We have lots of snippets available And if people want to, look for those, again, that's birthing, dying, becoming, great wisdom, great performance.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining with me. So, Leroy, thank you so much for talking with me today. Tell me a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Okay, so I'm Leroy Moore, and I do activism around police brutality against people with disabilities. I'm also a journalist. I write for the Bayview newspaper. It's the only black newspaper in the Bay Area. I also write for Forbes magazine. I'm also a lecturer. I've been on the college lecture circuit since 98 around race and disability, and also an author of two books now, one book of poetry and a new book that just came out on the children's book.
So you have a big event coming up. You are going to turn 50 soon.
Yeah, the big 5-0.
So tell me about how you're feeling and, what you feel like in terms of getting to this great kind of, milestone.
Yeah, turning 50 with a cerebral palsy, it's like me and my friend Patty Byrne had a joke. It's almost like dog years, because I think people with physical disabilities, once they age, it goes on so quickly, and so sharply, when I hit 40, it's like almost hitting a wall. Your body just can't deal with all the pressure, the body just wears down. I think for me, I had to really reshape, the work I do and how I do it and what kind of energies that I put into it and other projects or other things that come my way. I really had to be choosing. It's like, okay, I'll take this one. I won't take that one. So yeah, becoming 50, It's beautiful in a way because I've been down certain roads in my life that I know now that I don't want to go back down, so I can easily check off the list that I want to do just from personal experience. So that's a good side of it. The other side is like your body just can't do what you used to do,
Yeah, it is a huge achievement just to survive and get to the ages that we are. And, I don't think that's really valued or celebrated. And our culture doesn't appreciate the wisdom of our elders. What are your thoughts about aging and disability?
Yeah, I think, in this society, in this world we live in, capitalism don't really, take into account of our elders, It's such a shame. When I was younger, in my teens and 20s, I used to work at the summer camp for people with disabilities. And, every session was different, and the last session was elders. And I had a really good chance. I had a chance in my life when I was younger to really sit down and listen to older people that had CP, And now I look back on it, it's like, wow, those times was like gold, Because I think we don't take the time especially now with, you know, the internet and, you know, we don't really take the time to really listen to our elders and take in that knowledge. It seems like we always go around in circles because we don't really listen to, you know, our elders.
Who are the elders in your life right now?
Beverly Jackson is the first Black disabled woman that I had a chance to work with when I was younger, and she was running what's called UCP, United Cerebral Palsy. I'm gonna go see her, hopefully, you know, in the springtime. And, you know, she's one of my mentors and one of my elders. You know, Kilu Nasha, she's local in the Bay Area. She's a Black disabled activist that's been an activist since day one. She's, you know, an ex-Black Panther. You know, she has a public access TV show now. You know, she's one of my elders that I look up to.
Great. So, can you tell me a little bit about how your relationship with your body's changed over time?
Oh my God. Oh, Alice. Oh God. You know, when I was younger, in my 20s and teenage years, I was, you know, doing sports and I was working full time. I didn't look at my body as being quote unquote different. You know, it's just, you know, my body, you know. And now as I get older, you know, as I hit 50, whew, God, you know, when I was younger, I was like, oh, you know, forget you, come on, let's do it, you know. And now I really listen to it, and I really, you know, cherish it, you know.
Do you think that, you know, having a disability your whole life is gonna kind of help you in terms of, you know, adjusting to the aging process?
I think having a disability, yeah, it really taught me, you know, taught me to really look at my community first, you know. And really to test my community, you know, about, you know, who's really in my community, who's really down with me. Because, you know, having CP, you can't hide it, you know, you can't pass, you know. So it really taught me, you know, who's really my friends, you know, because you have to be really upfront, you know, to deal with a person with CP. So when I was younger, you know, it really was a black and white when people had to really step up. And nowadays, you know, my body tests the environment that I live in. Walking down a curb cut, or walking, you know, downstairs, you know, really, you know, say, okay, let me do this way, or let me go over here, or let me, you know, take the ramp, instead of taking the stairs. So my body at age 50 really communicates with the physical environment, you know.
And what do you do now to take care of your body and, you know, giving it the love and respect that it deserves? What do you do to make yourself feel good and, you know, live well?
I really eat better these days, you know. Mm-hmm. Of course, when you're younger, you eat a lot of fast foods and stuff. Yeah, I cut that out years ago. I just can't deal with that, you know. You know, I used to be on like 10 boards of nonprofits. I used to go here and go there, and now I just, you know, really the selective matter of fact, I turned down one of my college gigs. You know, I've been on a lecture circuit since 98. I turned down one like last year because it was like back to back from another college gig, so it was like I would go to New York, come back home for one day, and go right out again. That's the first time that I really listened to my body and to the stress that would take coming home, then packing up and leaving again. You know, I live on SSI. So it's not like, oh, I just turned down a gig. I turned down income. Being aware that my body couldn't do that and really sticking with it and start pushing it, that was a huge change for me. I take a lot of hot showers. That really helps. Sometimes I take a hot tub. And that really, really helped. That brings me back to my youth, because when I was in the hospital, doctors used to put people with CP in hot tubs, because they said that relaxes the muscles. So I do that once in a while, and that's really good. And my mode of transportation is my three-wheel bike. I travel with my three-wheel bike all over the Bay Area. There's a step that's low to the ground, so it's easy to get on. There's a wheel in front, and there's two wheels in the back, and there's this huge basket in the back. I like having a big, big seat, like a couch seat, so it's big and soft, you know. I think it was last month, I had four flats in 1 month, and that totally destroyed my whole month. You know, like I said, my bike is my car. So having those four flats really, you know, put me inside for like almost a month. So yeah, that tells you how important my bike is, you know, to my transportation and, you know, getting outside.
Is there anything else you'd like to talk about in terms of thinking about, you know, trip bodies and trip aging and what that means for you, should I going forward?
You know, at this time with all the natural disasters going around, you know, with hurricanes and earthquakes, and I really worry about, you know, people with disabilities, you know, our elders, you know, in natural disasters and emergencies, you know? We are the last ones to be rescued. So that's heavily on my mind.
Yes, and, you know, so many of us are in institutions or, you know, hospitals where, you know, people get trapped. And like you said, it's really, you know, sad that we're often the ones left behind.
Yeah, I mean, we saw that in, you know, Katrina, you know, in New Orleans, we're seeing that in Puerto Rico, you know, we're seeing that in New Mexico, you know. And, you know, living in the Bay Area, you know, we also, you know, think about earthquakes, you know, and just you know, it's hard to say, you know, it's just mind-blowing on how elderly people, people with disabilities in natural disasters are just left behind, you know?
Yeah, it says a lot about how people value us.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, thank you so much for talking with me today, Leroy.
Yeah, thank you, Alice.
This podcast is a production of the Disability Visibility Project and all of our community dedicated to creating, sharing, and amplifying disability media and culture. All episodes, including text transcripts, are available at disabilityvisibilityproject.com/podcast. You'll find links to organizations that Patty and Leroy mentioned on our website. The audio producer for this episode is Gerald Green. Introduction by Latif McFound. Theme music by Wheelchair Sports Camp. If you enjoyed this episode, tell all your friends about it. You can also support the work of creating disabled media at our Patreon page at patreon.com/DVP. That's patreon.com/DVP. Thanks for listening, and see you on the internet. Bye!